Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 25 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista, and as always, I'm here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
You know, yesterday at about, well, first of all, I need to say that I'm irate because yesterday I was watching some football with my friends, and he was making fun of like our intro, and he goes, "You always come up with the most random words." And he goes, "You should say irate." So shout out to Will Peepsack, because I know he'll be listening to this at some point. So yes, I'm irate. I was at the time, and then Washington and Philly somehow lost. So I guess now I'm kind of in limbo. Is there a word for that?
No, that's pretty much a good way to put it, in limbo.
I'm cautiously optimistic about the Giants' chances to be 6-10 and win the NFC East. And like at this point, I feel like they haven't even earned it. But yeah, I guess that's how I feel this morning.
I'm glad that you're feeling that way. I mean, look, right now the Giants are in a much better spot than I expected them to be at the beginning of yesterday.
I think after the 1 o'clock window, I was like, they're just done. Like four different things to happen. I thought Washington was going to beat Carolina. I thought that after the beginning of the Philly game, they were up like 14-3. And I was like, okay, well, like that's that. I was getting my hopes too high anyway. And maybe I still am because they're 5-10 and they're not a very good football team, especially they played their worst football of the season the last 3 weeks. But it comes down to what I've been saying for months. And that's you have to win one of the four against Seattle, Arizona, Cleveland, Baltimore. They won the first one. And now they had to beat Dallas, and now they have to beat Dallas.
Because look, right now it comes down to, I mean, obviously you know this, but just some like background. So the Giants right now are in a spot where if Washington loses to Philadelphia on primetime next Sunday, the winner of the Giants versus Cowboys game wins the NFC East.
Right.
I think it's crazy to think that the Cowboys are even in this race considering how far back they were just a few weeks back. I mean, I was sending that thing to you as a kind of just like a joke where I was like, you know, Cowboys 7-9 NFC East champions, which I wasn't really expecting to possibly become a reality, but it's closer than it was when I first sent it. So you never know.
Well, worst case scenario for me is that Dallas somehow wins the East because everyone knows how I feel about the Philadelphia Eagles. There's no secret there, but now they're eliminated. The Dallas Cowboys just really annoy. Like, literally everyone hates the Cowboys. Like, if you're not a Cowboys fan, you just hate the Cowboys. No one wants the Cowboys to end up winning the East. So that's worst case scenario. Like, Washington, I don't really have the same hate in my heart for the football team that I do for the other two teams in our division, and that's mostly because for most of my life, the Giants just kind of dominate them head-to-head. I think they've won like five straight against them or something like that. And that's where this tiebreaker is going to come down in the Giants' favor. Dwayne Haskins got released this morning. So it's going to be, I don't even know what their quarterback's name to finish the game was last night. It was like something Taylor Heinicke, fourth string QB. And that's unless Alex Smith plays. And just because I want it to be, I don't want there to be any ifs, ands, or buts. I kind of hope that Alex Smith plays.
All I'm saying is Taylor Heinicke was really good for me back in like Madden 17, my franchise.
What are you talking about?
Look, I know Taylor Heinicke because in Madden 17, I picked him up as a backup quarterback, and then he led the Jets to three straight championships.
You're a nut job. You're just a nut job, dude.
I'm not saying that kind of proves that Washington's going to win the NFC East, considering that they're not starting him. But all I'm saying is they should consider starting
him. I think they are starting Taylor Heinicke.
Or no, because they think Alex Smith's going to be back. But
I'm terrified of Alex Smith.
Well, I mean, look, I saw this stat this morning. So since 2018, the Washington football team is 10-5 with Alex Smith and 6-26 with everybody else at quarterback, which I just think is a crazy stat considering everything that went on and how, like, not many people see Alex Smith as, like, a solid starter. And
he's game manager at best, but he's played on good teams. He was on the Niners before Kaepernick led. The Giants beat him in an NFC championship in 2011. Mm-hmm. He had a few good years with the Chiefs, but Yeah, like he's a serviceable quarterback. The one thing about it, like his caveat will always be that he was drafted before Aaron Rodgers. But yeah, like you're right. He's had a good career, and he's of the four Washington quarterbacks, he's the one I would least want to play and the one I would least want to see starting on Sunday. That being said, if he plays, good for him, because his story is honestly a miracle. And 100%. Yeah, like he's not a guy I would want to root against the same way I would Carson Wentz. But it's going to be interesting. Obviously, the Giants have played their worst football of the season the last 3 weeks, because when they started off 5-7, 0-5, whatever, they were in every game. They've just gotten curb stomped the last 3 weeks. And I guess it maybe comes as a little no surprise to them that they still have something to play for next weekend. So maybe that'll be a bit of a wake-up call. Joe Judge is like, all right, you have to put all your eggs in this basket at this point. You know, like Dallas has been playing well and the Giants have not been. Right. So the game is in East Rutherford. Not that that makes much of it. I guess it does, because there's fans in Dallas, but the game is in East Rutherford. You know what you're getting in a divisional opponent. It's always going to be a tough game when it's Giants Cowboys, you know, no matter the skill of the teams, it's just Giants Cowboys. You know what I mean? And, it's possible whoever wins this game, if Philadelphia can win on Sunday night, whoever wins this game is going to the playoffs. And I don't care what your record is. Just that right there, like that should be enough to be motivation. Like that could really start pushing your team into a direction that an organization that you can be proud of again. And if we can see the Giants for the first three quarters of the season, they really do have a good chance.
Look, all I'm saying is that in our season preview, I did predict the Giants to go 6-10.
Right.
So, therefore, I'm always right if they win. But, no. What's it called? I think that the Giants right now have a much easier path than they really should have. I mean, the fact that they're still alive at 5-10 is crazy. But
right. Because there are teams like – that are like 10-5 right now in the AFC and they're not locked up in the playoffs, which is, by the way, absurd.
As of right now, there are 5 10-5 teams in the AFC East, or not AFC East, just the AFC. I think it's the Titans, the Colts, the Browns, the Ravens, and the Dolphins. And one of those teams will not make the playoffs.
And you know, the crazy part is they might all go 11-5 in one of them. Mm-hmm. Who's on the outside looking in right now? The Colts?
The Colts, yeah.
They're playing the Jaguars, so they're going to win.
Look,
but
hoping that, as someone that absolutely despises the Browns, I'm really hoping that it's them that doesn't make it.
That would be really funny. Like I think it'd be cool to see the Browns in the playoffs, but that would be really funny.
No,
it would be so funny. Like to go, dude, that'd be the most Browns thing ever, to go 10-6 and miss the playoffs.
Exactly. But you know, like while we're on this topic, let's just transition over to the Jets real quick. So as of last week, we didn't talk about it, but last week I was extremely angry with the win, which is so weird to say considering I've been wanting a win this entire season. But
right,
I was extremely mad because I knew that that's our chance at Trevor. That being said, going into yesterday with the game against the Browns, I wanted them to lose, but when I saw that Chicago was winning against the Jaguars by like 17 during the third quarter, I was like, okay, it's not going to matter anymore. And you know what? If there's any team that I want the Jets to beat, it's the Browns and the Patriots. So I was so happy. Like,
also, next week's game just doesn't even matter anymore because you just locked up with the second pick.
Locked up the second pick. So, yes, I'm hoping for a Jets win to end the season. But I think that the Jets potentially knocking the Browns out of the playoffs – would be such, like, I don't know what the right word is, because like it wouldn't be worth it in the sense like we're losing Trevor Lawrence, and that's
you'd have some consolation almost.
Exactly. Like,
and I do all Jets fans hate the Browns the same way you do, or is this just a you thing?
Kind of. I mean, it depends, because like there's the rivalry because of Baker versus Darnold. There's the rivalry just because of we were the team that the Browns beat to end their like a win 32, whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think so. I think it might just be me more of, but I just dislike the Browns and I would love to see them miss the playoffs. So this past week in the Jets versus Browns game, there were some really high highs, which was something different. Like
they played they played a really good 60 minutes of football.
How the defense was able to completely, like, basically take out Chubb and Hunt out of the running game was absolutely incredible, considering they have the number three rushing offense in the league. This Browns team is extremely talented on offense. And yes, you know what? They didn't have their wide receivers, so they were shorthanded, but they weren't able to get anything going with the run, which was absolutely insane. Because I believe
that CJ Mosley into that linebacker. Like, this is almost so crazy to say, but like, there's so much talent in the NFL, so this doesn't like mean much. But like, the Jets have talent. Imagine getting another receiver in there with Crowder, or at this point you're keeping Darnold, right? Like, you got to stick with Darnold.
I mean, like, right now it's either you're not. I'm not going Justin Fields.
Like, wouldn't you rather have Darnold at this point?
I personally would say yes. I think right now the only two options for the Jets are Darnold or Zach Wilson from BYU.
I don't know. I think that there are other – if you're going to keep Darnold and it's not going to be Lawrence, fill a different hole with that second pick.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I would say. I mean, I don't know who exactly it would be. I don't know if it's an own lineman because you just got Becton, who's been having a pretty good season. Maybe another edge rusher, someone like that. But
I think that even if – I know you got Becton, but I think you go Sewell. I don't think that you
– I think that's a safe pick. I agree. Yeah. And if you keep up the offensive line, it just makes your skill players all the more better.
100%.
And like, what if the Jets go after a Robinson or a Galladay, like I hope the Giants do? Like,
I think that they will. I think that the Jets will end up signing either Allen Robinson, Kenny Galladay. I mean, there's a bit of a drop off between players. I mean, it could be like a Will.
Even a Will Fuller.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, look, the Jets need a clear wide receiver one, whether that be trade or signing or drafting. I think that this wide receiving corp is one player away from being top 10. Look, because injuries have absolutely ravaged them this season, but you can't expect someone like a Breshad Perriman to be your number one wide receiver.
Exactly.
You can't throw Denzel Mims in halfway through the season of his rookie year and expect him to be a wide receiver one. Right now, if they have somebody like Robinson as number one, then you have Crowder in the slot, and then you also have players like Breshad Perriman, Denzel Mims, who's been very good recently. He just needs to develop a little more, and I think that he could be a solid starter in the NFL. And then you also have guys like Braxton Berrios. I don't know if they're bringing him back, but he's been very solid in the sense where he's been a very good – no, not very good, but he's been a good
special teams guy as well.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He's been a great punt returner, and he's just been able to be like a solid locker room presence. I mean, the camera went on to him at the end of the game last – night, and his reaction was actually really cool. Like, he just started screaming and getting hype. So like, just the idea of having a solid wide receiving corp, I think we're one player away from having one of those. And you know, right, our tight end situation is pretty bad. I mean, Chris Herndon really hasn't shown anything. He's been extremely disappointing these past 2 years, but I don't know.
I mean, like, yeah, like, and then the defense, if you want to talk defense, they've got pieces. They've got Williams. They've got May, McDougal, that have been playing really well in the secondary. I think they've had pretty good seasons, all things considered. And he put CJ Mosley in there, who's almost a defensive game player, could be a game changer. He's a big-time playmaker. Sorry, I jumbled up my words there, but you get the point. Like, but there's so much talent in the NFL, and it's just so, it cannot be stressed enough. The Jets need a new head coach.
Mm-hmm. Look, if the Jets do not fire Gase, you know that the entire fan base is going to leave.
Oh, no, they're just going to turn on him. Yeah.
There's no way that Jets fans support another year of Adam Gase. And I don't think that hopefully that there's fans next season and stuff, but I don't think the turnout for games will be anywhere near what it would be. One, because of COVID, and two, because of Gase still being there in the event that happens.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like – and you see it with the Knicks sometimes, like where the fans kind of just start, and we're going to talk about the Knicks in a few minutes. They kind of just start turning on, like, they turn on the owner, they turn on the leadership, they turn on the team, and they don't show, and it's Madison Square Garden, people are always going to go, but yeah, you're right. Like, if they don't keep Gase around, if they do keep Gase around, that's the sort of thing where, like, you just have that blatant disconnect with the fans and the team, and that's just so upsetting for fans, especially in New York, that, like, that's not going to be tolerated.
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking recently at different coaching candidates. I mean, the Bills offensive coordinator has been a solid option in that sense. There's been talks on Eric Bieniemy and all these other guys that have been kind of around for a while, like the 49ers defensive coordinator. Just like, there's been names that have been thrown around since the beginning of the season that could all be solid options potentially. But look, right now I'm just kind of hoping for anybody but Gase. I don't think that you could get any worse than Gase. So,
dude, you can't. At this point, you can't.
Yeah. I'm hoping that the Jets ownership is able to realize that 2 to 3 wins at the end of the season isn't enough to save this guy's job. Because, you know what, that's such a Jets thing to do, win the last 3 games of the season and then be like, oh, well, we have potential. Let's keep Gase. Because that's kind of what happened last year, and that's not what should have happened.
Yeah, but last year was to a much greater extent. And when you start a season 0-13, even if you do finish 3-13, that should be grounds for a firing.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, look, I am hoping that at the very end of next week, Adam Gase is gone. That would be my kind of gift into 2021, which might be very, very nice for me. But I don't know. I'm hoping that the Jets get rid of him very soon. There's no other way to put it. I mean, right now the Jets are kind of behind in the sense that teams are able to interview other coordinators and stuff for their head coaching positions. Well, the Jets kind of have to wait until the end of the season to kind of put Adam Gase in his coffin.
Right.
I don't know. I just want him gone. I've been saying this since week one. Adam Gase does not deserve to be a head coach in the NFL. One positive that I could say about this Jets coaching recently is that interim defensive coordinator Frank Bush, who did come from Gase's regime in Miami, has been doing a very solid job. I mean, you saw yesterday what he did with the rushing defense. Absolutely spectacular compared to what it was at the beginning of the season. Yesterday was really a glimpse of what possibly could be next year. If the Jets decide to keep him around, which I don't think that they will just because he's kind of connected with Gase, but as an interim defensive coordinator, he's been doing absolutely great. And I mean, besides the first game where they got absolutely destroyed by Seattle, I think that was his first game. He's had 2 solid wins against really good offenses where, I mean, you can't really complain in the sense that he's been doing a very solid job where he's been the defensive coordinator in the past for other teams. I think he was the Texans at one point, but he's just like, I think that there's job openings for Frank Bush. Maybe not with the Jets, but at least with some other team.
Yeah, I think that, like, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, it'd almost be silly to just not do a complete overhaul of the staff after this year. I think that'd be almost irresponsible to keep any remnants of the Gase administration. Like, I know that the Jets have looked good the last 2 weeks, but, like, you got to remember the spot they were in just a week and a half ago. Like, they were 0-13. And like, yeah, it sucks that you're not going to get Lawrence, but now you're going to get to keep Sam Darnold around, who will be going into his 4th year. And you never know. You never know what could happen with a new head coach. I know this will be his 3rd go around, but 3rd time's a charm. You know what they say. And yeah, the Jets definitely have pieces. There's definitely pieces, but it all starts with a new head coach. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with that pick. For the Giants, I know in the draft, and we'll talk about this over the next few months as we head more into the offseason, they need to take Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith. I'd love Ja'Marr Chase. And I'd love for them to sign Robinson or Galladay, because Shepard is a slot receiver, and if you could get 2 guys, they'll go up and get it, because Darius Slayton has seriously regressed. Then again, the game plan just completely stinks because Jason Garrett is just Jason Garrett. And yeah, there's a lot to fix on both sides of the ball for the Giants, but an edge rusher and a receiver are probably in the top of my list for players. Getting another cornerback too might be nice, but yeah, that's pretty much it for me. Do you have any other football we need to talk about before?
Look, we'll have an episode later in the week where we might have people on where we could talk about what might happen with the Giants. With the Jets, we'll kind of have like a season, or with both teams, really. I mean, depending on if the Giants make the playoffs or not, it'll be sooner rather than later. But we'll have like a season recap where we kind of go over what everything happened and what we kind of expect for the offseason. But as of right now, I think that we're good for football. Obviously, we'll hope for the best. We'll have a Giants preview of week 17 later in the week. But I think we're good for otherwise.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting last week for the Giants. But now, for the first time, First time ever on the show history in the last, like, 4 months. We're doing a Knicks recap.
Knicks regular season recap.
First three games recap. 1-2, but on a winning streak. So we feel really good right now. One
singular win.
We feel really good right now.
Okay, so the first two games, let's just start with that because we could
kind of... Yeah, let's just, get that out of the way.
So the first two games were ugly. There's no other way to put it. The first two games were not really fun games to watch as Knicks fans. You saw some flashes of disgustingness, but there's no real major points that need to be looked at in the first game other than kind of how inconsistent this team has been.
I mean, they had a good first half.
Yeah, exactly.
Had a good first half, but you're right. That goes to show, and it just sucks that Quickly and Toppin aren't playing right now.
Yeah, I mean, Quickly went out the first game. Toppin's reevaluating his whatever in 7 to 10 days. I don't know. I mean, I think that one thing that needs to be said is that the guard room needs to kind of have some sort of change, whether that be trading somebody away or kind of setting an exact – because, you know, at first game, Ntilikina plays 5 minutes. I think that – just the way that this rotation is like laid out isn't correct in the sense that people aren't playing the amount of minutes that they should.
Yeah. Like it's kind of disproportionate and weird. And we kind of knew that Thibodeau was kind of weird with his rotations, but he, of course, I'm going to make this comparison. He reminds me of Joe Judge a little bit in the aspect where he's like, he'll get in your face. He'll be angry. And I saw this meme on Twitter where it's like, Fizdale smiling, seeing that like the Knicks are down 38 or whatever, like something like that. And then like there's a picture of Thibodeau and he looks all pissed off, even though the Knicks are up by 25. And I love that. I think that's exactly what the Knicks needed. Like, think of what the types of coaches the Knicks have thrived under, like Holtzman, Pat Riley, Van Gundy, even Mike Woodson. They're no nonsense guys. They're not players coaches. That just doesn't work in New York. I don't really think it works in New York with any team, but that's besides the point. He's not going to be your friend. He's not going to let you get too high or too low. And I think that hopefully that might be working with this young team, maybe building off a big win off against a championship contender. That's something that's huge. And they just got to keep moving up from that. And you got to keep growing as a team from that. So
yeah, I mean, look, I think one thing that maybe not a concerning point, but something that we probably should look at and talk about for just a few minutes is RJ Barrett's play.
Inconsistent,
that's the best way to put it. I mean, the second
incredible first game, terrible second game, meh third game.
Exactly, where the third game he got off to a really slow start, kind of picked it up a little bit towards the end, but not in the sense where, look, RJ, I wouldn't say that he's the focal point of this team yet, but they're kind of training him to be, and he hasn't really been putting up the same kind of numbers that he should be if we're kind of training him for that. And I know that didn't really make sense, but
it made sense. Like, he was perfect in three-point shooting in Indiana, and then he misses his next 10.
Yeah.
Like, that's not good.
And look, I mean – last game, he had 38 minutes. The game before was 37 minutes. And then the game before that was, what, 34 minutes.
Yeah.
So lots of playing time for him. He is getting the bulk of the minutes for any player. I mean, him and Randall are averaging the team's most at this point. But
yeah,
look, it's all about, like, I don't know. I mean, this Knicks team has a lot to work on. Obviously, it is the beginning of the season. They put up a really good showing against the Bucks, which was very fun to watch and fun to see.
They were shooting really well, too. And, like, literally the infamy of this year's Knicks team, Peyton and Randall put up, like, 56 points combined.
See, I just
– just making that trade stock rise.
Look, I'm fine with that. Look, if they continue to play well and we're able to kind of get some sort of good compensation back for them, that'll be the most ideal thing possible.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to be biting on both Julius Randle and Elfrid Payton, considering Randle's contract and Payton's inconsistency and Randle's.
Julius Randle scored 25 points and then 29 points. If he can do that and just not be an idiot about turning the ball over.
Yeah. I mean,
like, he's a scorer. There's no denying that.
I'm going to.
If his defense was better and his decision making was better, I'd be okay with keeping him around.
No, I mean, I'm
not going to score 29 points every game.
I'm sticking by the mantra that we should not have him on the team right now. I mean, it is a Knicks thing to keep him, and you know, it might not be the worst possible thing, but I don't know. I just really don't see a spot for him on this team at the end of the season. And that depends obviously on where we're at in terms of playoff contention. I don't think that the Knicks are a playoff team as of right now, but obviously I'm hoping for it as a Knicks fan. It's still very early in the season, so we don't really know every single like little kink and knack and whatever, but I think that this Knicks team last night against the Bucks showed what they could be. And look, I don't – this Knicks team isn't a 50-win team. This Knicks team isn't a 40-win team, I don't think, yet.
Nope, not yet.
But they've got potential. They're all young. They've got a competitive spirit in a way where they need to kind of show up this season. And they haven't shown up in the past season. I think
they need to show up with progress. Like, exactly. We need to see growth. If we don't see growth, everyone's going to freak out again. There has to be a step in the right direction, not a step back. Because if there is, people are going to freak out at Rose and Thibodeau. People are going to freak out at our young players. And it's just the endless, deadly cycle of New York Knicks basketball. But if they keep playing like they did last night, being a real championship contender and one of the best players in the world by 20 points is not easy. Mm-hmm. And obviously it shows that there is some serious – I'm trying to think of the right word here. I guess potential, but that's so simple. Like, it's like there's a chance, you know? Like, I don't know, like, if the consistency's there. It's a young player, new head coach, new general manager, but I don't know. All we can really do at this point, you have to wait a few more weeks and see what's going on middle of January, beginning of February. But if they keep having games like last night and they can stay consistent at the very least and stay around 500, there's no reason why a young team can't make some noise heading down the stretch. So, we have to see growth.
I think that – I mean, look, this Knicks team has been in an endless cycle the past 8 years since we missed the playoffs. And there hasn't been any real sort of sense of growth in the slightest since Linsanity ended, really. I mean, it's weird to say considering how long ago that was, but this Knicks team has not had any sign of growth since then. And I think that, hey, if there's any year that it could happen, it's got to be this year.
Yeah.
They are very young. They have a lot of potential talent. And if they play their cards right, I think this team could get 35 wins. And I don't think that they'll get more than that. But at least for this season.
35 wins in the 72-game season, you mean? Like 35 and 37?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess that would be definitely growth.
But this Knicks team is such a toss-up. I don't know what, like, because right now I could project them to be, like, completely terrible or completely average. I'm not going to put them above average in any sense, but this Knicks team is so inconsistent. I mean, look, I said it for the Mets. I'm saying it for the Knicks too. Like, it's such a toss-up because you don't know what's going to happen.
Because we know the talent is there, but we don't know that the consistency or if it's enough.
Mm-hmm. No, it's accurate. I mean, what can we do right now? And I don't know.
And, you know, I can't help but think how interesting this all might be if Westbrook was a Knick, you know?
I wish, man. I think Westbrook would have been a really good pickup for the Knicks, but
I don't know. That'd be wild. He seems happy in Washington.
But yeah. I mean, what can you do? Okay, so just to show the Knicks schedule for the next few days.
I think they have the Cavs next, and then I'm doing this off the top of my head. They have the Cavs, and then they have another tough one, I think. Do they have Milwaukee again?
No, so tomorrow is Cavs in Cleveland. Then on New Year's Eve, they're in Toronto.
Oh, Toronto, that's who it was.
They open up 2020 on the 2nd in Indiana. So their next four games, because they play the Hawks right after that.
Yeah, they have the Atlanta
fit, on the road. So they got a bit of a road trip going on here. They're playing Cavs, Toronto, Indiana, Atlanta, which will be a very interesting stretch. I think that they probably could go ahead with at least two of those. I mean, I don't know if they beat Indiana. But Cleveland, I think that
Cleveland's undefeated.
But and you also saw what happened.
They beat them twice in the preseason. Not that that means anything, but
yeah. But I think that the Knicks could beat Cleveland with the right kind of. Cleveland's undefeated.
With the right game.
Crazy.
Yeah, they're 3-0. And then Toronto. Toronto hasn't won yet, but like.
Toronto's still a good team, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like. We know they won the championship a couple years ago for a reason, and they've got a really good rotation.
Well, they're not playing in Toronto this year, though, right?
They're in Orlando.
Yeah, that's right.
But, yeah, and then Pacers, Hawks. Hawks is winnable. I mean, Hawks have Trae Young, but, like, do they really have a great team around him yet or not really?
Not yet, no. I mean, there's no really solid options around him. It's kind of just the Trae Young show at this point.
Okay. Yeah, so that's winnable. And obviously you lost to the Pacers already. The Pacers are a pretty well-built team. But, yeah, you'd love to go 2-2. You'd love to go 2-2 and then go home. Anything better than 2-2 would also just be, like, fantastic.
Yeah, I mean,
if you go 3-1, that's a huge success. Like,
look, if they go
3-1, you'd love 2-2.
If they go 3-1, then they're over 500 for the year, which I don't think we'll be able to say too much during the season, but you never know.
Yeah, and then I guess, yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's gonna be interesting. Like, what, we really can't gauge much yet. We really can't.
Exactly.
You think we should talk about the Nets just real quick, even though we hate the Nets? The Nets are good. That's it. That's the Nets portion. Kevin Durant is a good basketball player.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, look, all I'm going to say is that I haven't really
watched the Nets games. So, like, I don't know. Like, Kevin Durant is good. Kyrie Irving's a freak. What else do you want to hear?
Terry Rozier posterizing KD.
Yeah, I mean, the Nets lost. Yeah. Actually, the Knicks won yesterday and the Nets lost. So
I think that just goes to show you which New York team is better.
Yeah, for real, guys. Step it up.
I don't understand how more people aren't realizing this. The Knicks are just so much better than the Nets.
Yeah, the Knicks over the last 24 hours have just been a much better team than the Nets, and that's a fact. So, yeah. I mean, do we have anything else for today, or are we good now?
Honestly, I think that might be it. I mean, we've got a very fun week, an exciting week, a most likely disappointing week in front of us.
Hopefully it's not disappointing for me, because you're coming to Jersey if the Giants make the playoffs. So yes, we're making that road trip to Jersey for Anthony and Frank, maybe. Maybe Frank. I don't know about Frank.
We'll figure it out. But, okay, before we go, I just want to say I saw this report. So the Jets' last two wins will have no impact on whether Adam Gase will return in 2021.
That's a good thing.
I think that
– that's a good sign.
This is coming from an actual Jets source. It was posted by U Stadium on Instagram. I think that this kind of – that kind of should show that the Jets are done with Gase in the sense where if they're – putting out something that says these last two wins will not have an impact, then that kind of shows that that's over, that hopefully that they're over him. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I don't know. It depends on the coach. It depends on what happens next year with what's going to happen with Darnold, but it all comes with time. So hopefully by next week, Gase is gone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting. I'm nervous, man. I'm going to be thinking about football all week, and we'll have a preview show on like Saturday with a special Giants guest of ours. I know he knows his stuff, so you'll see him then. But I'll plug my socials real quick. I'll plug our socials. If you want to follow me on Instagram and Twitter, it's Kyle Keegan with the L as a one. That's Kyle 1E Keegan. If you want to follow us on Instagram and TikTok, it's at Big Apple Sports Media. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Big Apple SP Media.
Anthony Evangelista 7 on Instagram, Anthony EV7 on Twitter. Thank you guys so much for listening to episode 25. We'll see you later in the week. See you next time.
Take care, guys.